Tonight, I just want to share a thought before you, before we're dismissed this evening in closing. It would be a word for those who are seeking direction and wisdom. Here's Priscilla from Brooklyn, New York, says, please pray for my granddaughter, Jaleesa, and all the students who are taking Regents this week. Thank you. Well, they need wisdom as they take their Regents exams this week. Here's someone from London, UK. I am soon going to take retirement and want to really hear from God and ask for clear direction. Please pray for me. And there are a couple of other prayer requests of folks that have found potential spouses. They're in dating relationships, and they're praying and asking God to lead them, guide them, to show them whether this is the right person for them or not. And so they need the Lord's direction. They need his guidance. Some of them have been single for a very long time. I think of one case of one person who's a single mom. And she's met a very nice man, and she's praying and saying, Lord, I'm sure she's praying, oh God, let this be the one. But she's asking for wisdom. She's asking for guidance, God's direction, according to her prayer requests. And you know, we serve a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God, who has promised to meet that need. And so in the book of James, chapter 1, just to give you a little bit of a background, James is the half-brother of Jesus. Out of Jesus's brothers, after Jesus, he's the next oldest. And he becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem, okay, after he's converted. And he begins to write to the believers, the Jewish believers that were scattered abroad as a result of persecution that had broken out. You remember when Stephen was stoned, persecution had broken out among the believers there, among the people there in Rome, and the believers were scattered. Those that were serving the tables, like Stephen and Philip and all of those, they were scattered all over the place. And so James begins to write to those believers that are scattered abroad, according to the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he says, greetings. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, so he's telling them you're going through difficulties, you're going through trials. And many of us today are going through difficulties and trials. I think of those of you who have written in online and you've sent in your prayer requests, asking us to pray for you because you're in a desperate situation. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He says, in other words, knowing that the testing of your faith produces an endurance. Amen. It produces an endurance in you and I, so that our faith has a chance to grow, our faith, our confidence in God, our reliance on God, if you will. Folks, tests and trials cause you and I, are designed to cause you and I to relinquish all dependency on the flesh and to look to God and live. Amen. And so James, he continues to write, and he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, which means mature, that you may mature and complete and be complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks what? Wisdom, he says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Another translation says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. We serve a generous God. Hallelujah. Ask our generous God, and he might give it to you. He probably will give it to you. Is that what your Bible says? He will give it to you. Hallelujah. He will give it to you. It will be given him. The King James or New King James says it will be given him. He will not rebuke you for asking. Hallelujah. In other words, without reproach. He won't reproach you for asking. He will not rebuke you for asking. Verse 6 says, but let him who asks, ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Amen. You know, when you and I have been stripped of everything, and there is no plan B, C, D, E, when there's no one you can call, suddenly there's a singleness of focus and there's a desperate cry that begins to arise in us. But as that cry begins to arise in us, the Lord begins to change us. He begins to do a glorious work in us. You know, the Bible says bad company corrupts good habits, right? If you hang out with the wrong crowd, you're affected in a negative way. The same thing, if you hang out with the right people, you're, guess what? Affected in a positive way, right? You're affected in a positive way. Well, guess what? If you hang out with God, if you hang out with God in the holy place, if you spend time with Jesus in the secret closet of prayer, he says that he will reward you openly. Amen? For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, to be in someone's shadow, you have to stick pretty close to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, James is writing to these believers who are going through a season of testing and trial, a season of difficulty, persecution, and maybe you're being persecuted right now in your own home or on your job for what you believe. James writes to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to encourage you not to lose heart, not to give up, but to look to the Lord and to trust him. And to ask him to give you what you need. If you need direction tonight, if you need wisdom, he says, ask of the generous God. Hallelujah. The generous God who gives to all men liberally without reproach. Generous, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure to ask in faith. Ask in faith in God alone. Trusting in him and him alone. And then the rest of the book of James, he begins to talk about various topics like being doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? Sometimes sometimes the children of Israel, the people of God, they would pray, but they had already determined in their heart what they weren't going to do. I think of the children of Israel who asked Jeremiah to go before the Lord and to ask God for direction, but they had already determined to go to Egypt. And Egypt is a type of the world. They had already determined to go to Egypt, and the Lord said, these people don't want my direction. They have already mapped out what they want to do. Folks, that's being double-minded. Folks, we need to trust in God and God alone. Our eyes need to be on Jesus and Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? He continues to write in chapter 2. He talks about having respect for others. And he talks about, again, faith without works, being dead, the importance of that. Chapter 3, he talks about controlling the tongue, learning to control the tongue. But at the end of chapter 3, he begins to distinguish between what is true wisdom that comes from God and what is of the flesh, what is earthly and what is demonic. What is sensual? What doesn't have the Holy Spirit in it? And that's in chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. He writes, let me read it to you here. In verse 13 through 18, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom." So with the wisdom he's talking about, there is a meekness. Folks, there is a total dependency on the Lord. He says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts," those two go hand in hand, envy and self-seeking in your hearts, "do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's not from God. It's earthly. It's sensual," which means the Holy Spirit's not in it. It's not inspired by God, and it's demonic. Folks, so if you are self-seeking, if the wisdom that you're looking for produces a self-seeking in you, an earthly earthliness, it's the thoughts of this world, it's a reliance on the flesh, it's without God's Spirit, it's a reliance on the five senses, if you will. What feels good, what sounds good, what tastes good. Folks, God's not in that. We're talking about a wisdom that comes from above, and he begins to describe what that is. First of all, in verse 16, he says, "Where there is envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are." And so he says, if that wisdom will produce confusion, folks, if it's self-seeking, in other words, if it's not surrendered to the will of God, if it's not given to God, it will produce confusion. Confusion and every evil thing there are. He says, is present there. But he says the wisdom from above, verse 17, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Folks, it ain't nasty. It ain't bitter. It ain't selfish, self-seeking. It's not just concerned about itself. It's not argumentative. It's gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. If God is leading you, you should be full of mercy. If the Holy Spirit has control of your life, you should be full of mercy. Why? Because God has been merciful to you. And his Spirit is animating you. Are you with me tonight? And good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Hallelujah. That is the wisdom that comes from above. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who know peace. In other words, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Let me read it to you in another translation. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is peace-loving, gentle at all times, yielding to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Hallelujah. If that's the wisdom you seek, God wants to give it to you generously. He wants to give it to you generously. Praise the living Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus in the New Testament has been made unto us wisdom. So in essence, when you're crying out for wisdom, you're really saying, "Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want your will, not my will, but let your will be done." And if that's your desire, that's your cry tonight, he's promised to order your steps. So don't give up. Don't let him go till he blesses you. For he who asks, and notice the plurality there, receives. To him who knocks, the door will be open. To him who seeks, he will find. Will you give him praise tonight? If you say, Pastor, tonight, I want God to order my steps. I've got some things I need to decide on, and I just want the Lord to order my steps. I want you to raise both your hands as a sign of surrender to him tonight. And I want you to begin to talk to him. Talk to him about whatever's concerning you right now, and just tell him, Lord, order my steps in this area, in that area. Begin to name the areas right now. Begin to name those areas right now. Talk to him. Lift your voice. This is a prayer meeting. Don't go silent on me. Those of you online, begin to lift your voice. God, I want you to order my steps. Direct me in this area. Direct me in this area. God, give me wisdom. Give me your mind. You said we have the mind of Christ. God, speak to us. Speak to us. Open your word to us. You said we would hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh God, you said my sheep know my voice. God, help us. We want to know your voice clearly. We need to know your voice clearly. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us, Lord. Draw us after you that we might run together. Lord, we're not interested in our own plans. We're not interested in our own way. You said there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Lord, we're not interested in that. We want you, Jesus. We ultimately want you. We have to have you. Like Moses said, we're not going if you're not going with us. If you're not going before us, if you're not covering our rear guard, if you're not the fire and the glory in the midst of us, we want no part. We want no part. We want Jesus. We want you, Lord. So be glorified, be magnified, be exalted. Let the will of God be done in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, guard us, O Lord. Guard us against the lies and darkness and the lusts of our own hearts. Lord, the deceptive appetites of our own hearts, Lord. The voice of our own hearts, O God. Guard us against these things. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, lead us by your Spirit. We trust you tonight and you alone, God. We thank you for your word, which is still a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us a thirst for your presence, that we would stay in the secret closet of prayer, that we would abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, we take refuge in you. Thank you for being our refuge and strength, our very present help in our time of need. God, we thank you that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We look to you and you alone, God, and we thank you, and we bless you, and we praise you that you are going to finish the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to give him a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going to fail us now. You've never failed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lead us to that rock that is higher than we are, above the flood tides, above the voices of the enemy, above the fiery dart of the wicked one. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.